So has anybody here heard the word polyrhythm before? No? Oh, a couple takers. I like some of the musicians there. So it's my second to last Sunday, and it's my last time preaching in this pulpit, so I have a bit of a favor to ask you as a percussionist. Are you guys ready for it?
Yes.
So I'm going to ask each half of the church to clap a different rhythm at the same time. Do you guys think you can handle it? It would mean a lot to me. I know clapping's not our strongest suit, but it would mean so much to me if you guys would do this. It would make my parting next week a lot easier. I know it would make Harry a lot happier because he really wanted there to be some percussion in this service. And so you guys can be that percussion. You guys ready? All right. So here's how it'll work. The choir will help you out, right? You guys want to help out? Okay, good. So this side, I divide you in half. You're already divided in half. That makes it easier. But here's how it works. This side will be clapping triplets, all right? And that means you'll be clapping in threes. This side over here is going to be clapping eighth notes, which means you're going to be clapping in twos, all right? And it'll work out, trust me, I promise. And if it doesn't, such is the grace of God. God will still love us anyway. So, but we'll stay together because we'll have a common beat, a common pulse. All right, so I'll just teach you each your part first, quickly. So this side, you'll be doing triplets. You guys can relax for a second. And the choir from, let's say, from Eric over to the end there, you guys will be helping them clap triplets. So I'll give you, so it'll sound something like this. So, two triplets, three triplets. Can you guys do that? Great. Two, ready, stop. Beautiful. This is boding well for us here. Here we go. All right, so you guys can rest for a moment. So everybody else in the choir, you're going to help us do eighth notes. So we have the same beat. But we're going to do eighth notes. So here goes. One and two and three and four and one and two and three and four. Okay, stop. Great. Do you guys think you can handle doing that at the same time? That didn't sound enthusiastic to me. I need to know that you can handle it at the same time. Do you guys think you can handle it at the same time?
Yeah.
Amen. That's what I like to hear. All right, so we're going to do it the same way. We're going to start the triplet section off first, but they're going to keep going instead of stopping, and then I'll bring you guys in next, right? So let's start with the triplets. All right, keep that going. Just follow the choir. All right, you guys are going. One, two, ready, stop. Wow, give yourselves a round of applause. I must say, I am quite pleased at how well that went. Did anybody have trouble with that? Yeah, it's not an easy... Yeah, there we go. We got some honesty over there. So, what we just did is called a polyrhythm. Everybody say polyrhythm.
Polyrhythm.
That's right. That's good. Keep that enthusiasm going. A polyrhythm is when you have multiple different beats going on at the same time. And there is no reason these two rhythms should fit together. They don't belong together at all. They are completely contradicting beats, and yet somehow, when they're played together, they sound kind of cool, right? At least I think so. I think there's like a nice little groove there. It may have been hard for you guys to hear because you were focused on keeping your own part together, right? No? Yes? Okay. So to get this right, it takes a lot of listening, it takes a lot of practice, and it takes a lot of faith to give these diverse rhythms a common pulse. It can be quite difficult keeping your own rhythm going while trying to listen to that contradicting beat, but that's what it's like to be a part of the body of Christ. We all have our own unique rhythms. We have our own unique experiences with God. We have our own unique faith. And on its own, it's a perfectly fine rhythm. But when you add in a different beat, it transforms it to something much deeper. It may be awkward at first, but with a lot of listening, a lot of practice, and a lot of faith, we find that common pulse in the divine heart, and we groove together as one body. Now, in the New Testament, in the letter to the Romans, Paul says, we Christians are like a polyrhythm. Although he doesn't exactly use the word polyrhythm, I'm not sure it actually existed in Greek back then. But Paul says, we are one body in Christ. We are one body with many members. We are a diverse group of individuals, and yet we are so deeply connected. We are so diverse that you would never think that we would work together, and yet somehow we find a groove together. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But that groove can sometimes be hard to find. You guys did it so easily, but often, outside of these walls, it's not as easy. Sometimes it's so hard to feel like we are one body at all. Now, when I see somebody like Reverend Terry Jones down in Florida who declares a Quran burning day, it's hard to feel like we are one body in Christ with him. Amen?
Amen.
When so-called Christian politicians use phrases like Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, to advocate for homophobic legislature, it's hard to feel like we are one body in Christ with them. Amen? When televangelists preach that the most recent hurricane or tornado was God's punishment on America for America's abortions, it's hard to feel like we are one body in Christ with them. Amen? When another husband uses the Bible to justify abusing his wife, it's hard to feel like we are one body in Christ with him. Amen? When we see hate-filled acts, when hate-filled acts are done in the name of Christianity, it doesn't sound much like a polyrhythm at all. It doesn't sound as glorious as you guys just sounded then. It doesn't sound as coordinated. It sounds more like a bunch of people who can't clap, making a whole lot of ugly noise. Sometimes it gets to the point where I am even ashamed to call myself a Christian. Sometimes I don't really want to be part of that body at all. So I do everything I can to separate myself from that kind of Christian. Start saying phrases like, I'm Christian, but not like that. Or, those people aren't real Christians. Which is funny, because that's exactly what they're saying about me, too. I mean, really. How can these people and I both call ourselves Christians? How can we both be members of the same body of Christ? How can one religion contain such contradicting faiths? Problem is, our contradictions turn into arguments, and our arguments turn into hate, and we push each other away. Only growing more sure of ourselves, but no closer to God. The homophobic Christian gets more homophobic, the violent Christian gets more violent, the liberal Christian gets a little more liberal, and all of us are too caught up in our argumentative contradictions, and it all becomes a bunch of chaotic noise. It was only a couple of decades after Jesus had left us, after Jesus was gone, that Paul wrote this letter to the Romans that we heard earlier. Much like today, Christians were forming cliques. They were separating from each other. They were dividing and turning against their fellow Christians, saying things like, those people aren't real Christians. Now, Paul saw this division. Paul saw the division in the Christian body. Paul heard the angry words that each group shouted at each other. Paul felt the arrogance that each group used to put down the other. So Paul wrote this pleading letter to his fellow Christians. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, do not be conformed to this divided world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God together. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think with sober judgment. For as in one body we have many members, and not all members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ. And individually we are members of one another. I don't know about you guys, but for me, it can be so tempting to just shout at sometimes. It can be so much more gratifying to argue and debate. It would feel so good to give that politician an earful of a well-crafted argument, am I right? It would feel so good to give that televangelist a piece of my mind. But that would be giving in to anger and arrogance instead of giving in to God and love. That would be shouting at each other instead of learning from each other. That would be marching to the beat of my own drum instead of searching for the pulse of God's heart. Paul says, let go of your arrogance. Let go of the high and mighty idea of yourself. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice to God. Paul says, do not be conformed to a world that continues to divide and argue. Paul says, be open to the possibility that every single person you meet, every single person you encounter can transform your mind for the better. So when you disagree with another Christian, don't start with an argument. Don't start by trying to prove yourself right and the other Christian wrong. Start by remembering that you are one body in Christ. Start by building a relationship. Because if we continue to let anger and resentment and stereotype rule our interactions with other Christians or anybody of any faith, even with the most hate-filled Christians, then our contradicting faith will turn into a warring faith. And a body at war with itself can only create more war. But if we live in relationship with each other, if we truly live as one body, then our contradicting faith transforms into conversations of faith. Our arguments transform into discernment. Our polyrhythms start to groove together a little bit better. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, next time you hear someone spouting off views that contradict your own, don't start by arguing with them. Start by trying to understand them first. I'm not telling you to give up your own beliefs. I'm telling you to have a conversation with them. Listen to them. Put aside your ego. Let contradiction transform your mind into a deeper way of believing. It might be a little awkward at first, as I'm sure many of you felt a little awkward when we started clapping. But I know you can do it, Old South. I've seen it in this very sanctuary, in this very church community. You are already a shining example of what it means to be one body with many members. You are already a polyrhythm in and of yourself, as you proved at the beginning of the sermon. For as in one body, you have many members. You have award-winning mathematicians who go to Bible study every week. You have conservative Republicans who preach a progressive Christianity. You have former Catholics who love the UCC and still go to get communion every day at the nearest Catholic cathedral. You have Eastern Orthodox immigrants who love to worship here in this space with us. You have Jews, Muslims, and agnostics sitting in the pews right next to you. You have CEOs sitting down to meals with the homeless as friends, and each one a contradiction in and of themselves, and each one contradicting the other, and yet each one living in love with the other. And it's for this reason. It's because you don't let those contradictions become arguments. You turn them into conversations. It starts here, but it needs to go further. We are doing great work in our community, and I think we're strong enough now to take it farther, to go beyond these walls. Compassion starts here, but it needs to extend beyond these walls, because there is a divided world out there that needs a new groove, a rhythm that starts with love, that starts with a lot of listening and a lot of practice and a lot of faith and the Holy Spirit providing a common pulse. I believe that if you take this love, this polyrhythm that you build and hear and bring it out into the world, you can transform this broken world. And if you believe that too, say amen like you mean it.
Amen.
Amen.